Have you ever had the experience where God did not make sense? When that came to me this morning at 6, I started thinking about a lot of times in my life that God did not make sense. And it wasn't his fault. Of course, it was on me. I think about the time the Lord called me, we believe, to become a priest. And everything in the world went wrong. Everything. From a standing committee that asked me if I was from St. Luke's, did I speak in tongues? And my reaction was, of course, everyone does. I was stupid. But I was thinking at the time, God, this isn't going well. If you called me to this, why isn't this going well? I think about then being in seminary and going to my fieldwork parish that I spent 12 hours a week at. And on a Sunday morning, the first time that I was called upon to participate in reading the liturgy, I froze. I just was overwhelmed with panic and anxiety, and it wasn't good. And I remember just finally getting through it and just sitting, looking out a window, saying, God, this isn't working. If you called me to something, why aren't you here? I thought when you called me to something, you would show up, and you're not showing up. Then I went to thinking about my kids, and with all three of my children, literally, there were times that Claudia and I were fighting for their lives, where we realized we had no control over incurable kidney disease, over anxiety that a person could not leave the house, and other things. And we were helpless, and we were fighting for them. And it wasn't just one at a time. It seemed like they all decided about the same time to do what they were doing. And God didn't make sense. We prayed all the right prayers. The church prayed all the right prayers. But our kids, for a while, were not changing. If anything, they were getting worse. It's somewhat the dilemma the people had on Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, there's this wonderful experience we celebrate where there's a donkey and a colt, and the people place cloaks on them, and they place cloaks and palm branches along the way, and Jesus comes in, and Jesus, even before that, looked like he was in complete control. He was giving orders to his disciples to go, and you'll go over here and you'll see a donkey and it's full, and if anyone asks you, just tell them the Lord needs them and wants them and take them. And Jesus is giving orders. He's preparing this whole scene. He realizes he's fulfilling prophecy, and the people are really excited. I mean, it's talking about all Jerusalem. It was like literally an earthquake. The ground wasn't shaking, but people were talking and people were excited. And here comes Jesus, and he's been doing signs and wonders. And he teaches not like the teachers of the law, but he teaches with authority, Mark said. And this Jesus looks like he has it all together. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. But later, the people are saying, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. We don't want Jesus. Crucify him. What happened? What happened with these people that that were so excited and were really pumped up, and there's just all this excitement going on that Jesus is coming, and then it goes to crucify him. The problem the people were dealing with was that they had an expectation of what Jesus was going to do. And their whole thought being, this Jesus, we believe a good chance he's the Messiah, and we are under Rome's oppression. And so, true to Scripture, and Scripture to back it up, this Messiah was going to expect it to be one that would come and defeat the oppressors, the Romans, and would release Israel from this oppression they were under. And so there comes a point where the people are really expectant, but what happens is that
it didn't make sense.
Jesus didn't do what they expected. Jesus did not do what they wanted. And so they turned away from him. And not everyone, I mean, the disciples were somewhat faithful, somewhat, better than most, but people turned away because Jesus did not meet their expectations. The problem the believers or those that were part of the parade welcoming Jesus, they didn't understand that Jesus was about something bigger at that moment than Rome. They looked at Jesus and they saw this man being betrayed. They saw this man being arrested. They saw this man being put on trial. There's all the things they saw, and they said, it's over. It's not going to happen. But Jesus was doing something bigger than they understood. Something bigger. Jesus wasn't about simply wanting to release them from the oppression of Rome. He was about releasing the world from sin and death. He was about conquering the enemy of Satan and all of his demons that were affecting people. He was about this wonderful thing that he was coming here as a living sacrifice so that his blood would cleanse the world of sin, would cleanse the world of shame, would cleanse the world of guilt. He was about something so much bigger than they understood. And at least for a while, or maybe forever, they missed out. When I look at Scripture, I keep seeing and encountering events where God did not make sense to people. I was thinking about Paul, and Paul had this thorn in the flesh, and he asked the Lord three times to remove it. Well, if he asked three times, it meant the Lord didn't remove it, okay? It was still there. But God had something bigger for Paul. Through that thorn in the flesh, whatever it be, God said, I'm going to let you see my grace and my power in your weakness. He could have taken the thorn away, but Paul would have been robbed. He would have been robbed of something bigger and greater, which was to know the power of God, to know the presence of God in his life like no one could ever imagine. I was thinking about Samuel, and we heard about Samuel a few weeks ago in the readings, and Samuel being a person that was doing the things of God, and he anoints Saul because God says it's okay to anoint Saul as king, and then it all blows up. And it says that Samuel was grieving. Samuel thought it was done, But the Lord said, how long are you going to grieve, Samuel? Because I have someone else in mind. I have something bigger in mind that is going to be about David becoming the true king of Israel, and his descendants will lead to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, being birthed. Again, seeing something bigger allows me to move forward. When Claudia and I were dealing with different circumstances with our kids, and when I say we were fighting for their lives, I'm serious. We were fighting for their lives. I also, at the same time, was dealing with a disease called ulcerative colitis. And today I weigh, Claudia will correct me, I weigh about 220. Back then I was down to 160 at best on a good day, at least 60 pounds lighter. And so you pray and pray, and you have a disease that isn't treating your body well, and you have children that are being terribly afflicted. And so the question is, where's God? Why didn't he move the first time we prayed? But God had something bigger in mind. God developed in us a faith like you can never imagine. He developed in us a toughness that we will never let go of Jesus. He brought us to a place of not loving Jesus simply because he blessed us or blessed others, but as Bernard de Clairvaux would say, he brought us to a place of loving Jesus because he was Jesus, not for what we were going to get out of it or someone else was going to get out of it, but because we loved him. With new plants growing in soil, there's a way to be sure not to overwater and not to give them too much water. And sometimes it's good for them not to get any water. Why? Because that's the time their roots grow deeper and deeper and become stronger and stronger. I was talking to Deb this morning, and we're kind of lamenting about all the things that have come against her, and physically, in a lot of ways. And we were talking about how there's a bigger thing going on that she wasn't dramatically healed yet, and we'll keep praying for that. But that in the midst of it, God was growing roots for Deb deep into the soil of the Lord. There's the saying talking about the dark night of the soul. For those that are doing the emotionally healthy spirituality, and the dark night of the soul is living in a place where it's dark. You feel alone. But it's at that moment you might be saying, "Where are you, Lord? What are you doing?" But it's at that moment where your pride falls apart, where the sense of controlling yourself and others falls apart, and you come into a union with God like no other time. So what I want to encourage all of us during this Holy Week is that we would face each day of Holy Week with the Lord, and if we're in a place where the Lord's not doing what we think he should do, don't write him off. Don't walk away. Hang on, because God is doing something at a level that is so much deeper and more glorious than you can ever ask or imagine. I found all of a sudden, the power of God working in my life when I was in seminary. I never would have found it if I hadn't gone through that time of feeling so alone, trying to preach or do liturgy. All of my kids came through. It took time, but they all came through. But we discovered God in a new way. I was being scheduled to have my colon removed because of the ulcerative colitis that they had run out of options. And lo and behold, after years from 1976, for the next 20 years, not quite 20, 10, 15 years, there came a time where I got healed. So the Lord was involved, but he didn't do it the way I wanted. He did it his way, but he accomplished far more than he would have accomplished if I had been instantly healed. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you reveal so much to us about yourself. You reveal things about the Spirit. You reveal things about your ways. And yet, Lord, there are times that you don't make sense to us. We're not complaining. We're just saying there are times that things do not make sense. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us a heavenly perspective of circumstances in our life where we come into a place that we're out of control. We can't control a situation. We can't run away from it. We pray and nothing seems to happen at that moment. But Lord, that we would press on, and in that pressing on, we would discover the fullness of you, Lord, and what you're trying to birth in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the miracles. We thank you for signs and wonders. But we also thank you, Lord, for the times that prayer doesn't seem to be answered, that you're still working, that we hang on, Lord. We hang on. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.